So this is Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. Hear now these words. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back to the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up in the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke at them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back to the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. And so ever since last November, we've been doing a journey with the life of Jesus. And we started out with some pretty cool stories, if you will, of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and baby John the Baptist, and Mary and Joseph. And then at Christmas, we got the Bethlehem and the shepherds and Anna's and Simeon. And then the three wise men came, and then John the Baptist baptizing. And now we're doing different events of life of Jesus. And I confess freely, I have cheated somewhat, because as my inspiration, I have used several of these stained glass windows in our church. So this sermon has been inspired by the one in the right-hand corner here, where you see Peter is sinking in the water, and Jesus is reaching out and picking him up. Okay, so this morning I want to speak to you for a little bit about walking on water. Now, in the story, Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 people. And you get an impression that after all the teaching and preaching and doing this miraculous wonder, he is worn out. He is not tired, he is tarred, as we say here in the South. And the reason I think that is, look what he does. He insisted his disciples get back in the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And then after sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. In other words, Jesus said, "I'm worn out. I don't need any folks. You all go home. I taught you. I fed you. I healed you. Go." And then he turned to the disciples and says, "That goes for you too. Get on the boat and leave." Even Jesus needed time by himself to charge his batteries. Do you remember times perhaps growing up when maybe your mom and dad says, "You need to leave. Go to that ball game. Go with your friends. Do something. I just need some time by myself. You have worn me out today." I see some heads nodding. Right? Even parents get worn out and need time by themselves. Jesus needed time to spend with his Heavenly Father, if you will, to recharge that spiritual battery. And if he needed to be recharged, how much more do we need to be recharged? How much more do we, in our private devotions in the morning and the evening, need to take time to be with the Heavenly Father to recharge our battery? Jesus, Son of God, felt like he needed it. Surely we need it as well. And so there he was praying, and night fell. And meanwhile, his disciples were out in the boat. Now, you would think they'd be okay. I mean, you got Peter and Andrew, James and John. We know for a fact those four were fishermen. So surely four fishermen in the boat would be safe. But it says that they were in trouble far away from land. So they were apparently in the middle of the lake here, and a strong wind comes against them, and they were fighting heavy waves. and they were scared. And this was 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So, Marin, there's no Coast Guard. There's no dial 911 to come to your rescue. There's no Tennessee Wildlife Patrol out in the boat seeing what's going on. You're just there by yourself. And there's no life jackets. There's none of that. And it's probably one of those deals, they're out there by themselves, right? I remember, well, it's been more than a few years ago, but I went to a Kraft Family concert up in Knoxville. And it was a great concert, but then they ended early. And they said, we want to send you home early because the weather looks bad. And I didn't have a smartphone back then. I didn't pay attention to the Weather Channel or anything. And so I got an autograph, a magazine for me, and got in my car and jumped on I-75, go back to Calhoun. And as soon as I got on I-75, I realized I was in trouble. I-75 was empty. In Knoxville. It was just me. And I thought, oh, Lord, what have I done? You know? And I thought, and I felt like the longest drive from Knoxville to Calhoun. And eventually, in the distance, I saw the two red taillights of a big old trailer truck. So he became my buddy. I got behind him, right, because of the wind draft and such. And it came, a downpour like nothing else. And what I didn't realize was Knoxville was underneath a tornado warning. That's why there was one just get out. I probably better off saying, let me spend the night here, okay? But I remember that drive, and it poured down rain to where, and I got stuck behind someone up around Nioda and couldn't see around them, and I thought, well, I just might as well just be on Highway 11 at this point because we're going so slow, at least I won't get run over from the back and so, you know. But I was a little nervous, a little scared, pouring down rain. The disciples around this lake by themselves, so they were scared. And then next thing they know, while they're all scared, they see somebody walking past them. Okay, now it's always scary when somebody walks past you in the dark, isn't it? Imagine, for example, you're out here on the country road one night and you're walking around, and maybe you're paying attention to the sunset of flowers, and the sun sets and it's dark. And you're just walking, and then somebody just walks past. You didn't see them. It was scary, right? It might have been your neighbor. It might have been Jack the Ripper. You don't know. You just know somebody was out there, okay? I mean, it scares me driving down Beauvoir Road, and I pass a hitchhiker I didn't see to the last second, you know? And, now, question. When you're in the boat, how many folks do you see walking around your boat at night at 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, you don't, right? And so immediately they start thinking, this is weird, man. Something's up. And the first thing they come up with, it has to be a ghost. Okay. And a ghost, all that is really, that's just your spirit. That's in the wrong location, right? No. I like to think if I died, got hit by a bus, whatever, my spirit would go up to heaven, right? But if for some reason my spirit came in the next Sunday morning, you know, it'd be a ghost, wouldn't it? I'd be in the wrong location. I don't know that I could do that. That'd be kind of fun to find out. You know, make for a good old little skit for the gym players to do about the ghost that haunts Mars Hill, right? And they're scared, okay? You know? Yeah. So they're out there, and it sounds like a bunch of teenagers, right? They're out there, it's dark, the weather's stormy. I see somebody, and it's a ghost, you know? Now, I can't blame them though thinking it's a ghost, right? I mean, you are out on the lake at 3 o'clock in the morning, and when somebody is walking past you in your boat, I mean, that's, I think it's logical. It's a ghost, okay? You know, and you know how your imagination plays tricks on you and such. And I remember watching a documentary about a famous creature, and the scientists did a little experiment. They went to London at by the river there, and had their cameras rolling, and they had this log that would pop in and out of the water every so often. And folks would say, they said, oh, there's a log flowing down the river, and that's all they said. Well, then they did the same experiment further up north in Scotland at a certain log. Yeah, guess what happened? Oh my goodness, I think it's a Loch Ness monster, you know.
And so their point was, you know, people go there expecting to see stuff, and then they see a log, whatever, and this thing, then they swear they saw the Loch Ness Monster, okay? Your imagination takes over. So here's the disciples, and they're freaking out, and they're scared, you know, and they're not just kind of saying this, they're saying this out loud, it's a ghost. No, they're just scared, you know, and it's a wonder they won't fall off the boat. And then what does Jesus say? Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. It's an interest how in the book of Revelation, Jesus tells John the Revelator the same thing. Don't be afraid. I have come. When Jesus is in your presence, you got nothing to be afraid of. I don't care how much the wind is blowing, the waves are turning. I don't care how deep the lake is. It doesn't matter. When Jesus is in your presence, you got nothing to worry about. And when it says, I'm here, my Bible in the notes said the Greek reads, I am. Now, and you may recall either from the book of Exodus or watching the Charlton Heston movie, when God called Moses to the burning bush and gave Moses his marching orders to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, Moses says, well, hold on, Lord. When I go, you know, these Egyptians got all these gods and goddesses and names. They'll ask what God sent me, and I need a name. And what did the Lord say? I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. And so when Jesus says, don't be afraid, take courage, I am, he is invoking the deity of God, God's presence. Okay. And depending on how much they thought about this, maybe thought about it later, but in the Old Testament, here is the one person it talks about walking on water. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. There are several passages in the wisdom writings that talks about how God walks on the waters, walks on the waves, okay? So Jesus is tapping into that Jewish belief that God, believe it or not, can walk on water. And that's what he's doing. And then Mr. Big Mouth speaks up. Oh, Peter. Now, Peter was all those people who always acted first, thought about things later. But I really like this because I feel like this is kind of courageous. Because, and show him thinking quickly, he says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Which tells me disciples at first, like, now, is this, I mean, is this really Jesus? Is this a ghost? Is this some little demon out here in the lake trying to mess with us? And so Peter says, well, let's do a little test. And so he says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Now, I think that's kind of gutsy because if it's some demonic or evil, you know, they could lie. He could lie about it. And I think Peter doesn't want to hear Jesus speak another time. So Jesus says, yes, come. Now, think about this. Talking about a fisherman here. He knows water is dangerous. He knows you can drown in the lake. He knows you don't get in the water when the wind's blowing, the wind's turbulent, especially at night. And what does he do? He gets on the side of the boat and he takes that first step of faith. There's a movie I really like. There's a series of movies. Two I really like, and one I thought was a little goofy, and one I thought was a little too dark. The Indiana Jones movies. And the movie that came out in 1989, I believe. The Last Crusade. There's a scene where our hero Indiana Jones has to take the step of faith. He's at a ledge, looks down, and he thinks, if I take a step, I'm going to fall to my death. But he got to do this to rescue his dad. He takes that, closes his eyes and takes that step. That's what Peter has to do. He has to take that step of faith. Now, it's one thing to say, Lord, I believe you when you're in the boat. But it's another thing, get on the edge of the boat and step out. I remember reading one time, or heard one time, rather, a certain daredevil artist. He had tied a rope over this great waterfall and had a big crowd, and he walked on one side, walked on the way back, walked back, and the crowd was cheering him on and having some of the royalty there. And he said, how many of you think I can take this wheelbarrow and go across this rope to the other side? And they all cheered and said, well, yes, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And he pointed to the prince there and said, Prince, do you think I can do this? He said, yes, I can. He said, you think I can do this with the person side? He said, oh, yes, I can. He said, jump in. And the prince had a lapse of faith. And he said, no, thank you. And so this performance artist asked, does anyone else want to get in my wheelbarrow and take a ride across this rope to the other side of this waterfall? And all of these people who were cheering him on kind of backed off and got real quiet. And then one lady spoke up and said, I'll do it, son. It was his mom. Now, don't do this at home to your mom, okay? But his mom got in that wheelbarrow, and he took that mom and wheelbarrow across that rope to the other side of the waterfall and back. Mom had faith in her son. Now, being my mom, she had a heart attack before we got in the wheelbarrow. You know, that wouldn't have happened, you know? She'd been with Jesus. There would have been no wheelbarrow about it, you know? But Peter had faith. And for a few moments there, he took those few steps. But then what did Peter do? You know, he began to realize he got himself into a mess. It kind of reminds me in Garden of Gethsemane, right? Cut the guy's ear off, and then later on realizes, oh, this is a bad situation. We're under arrest, man. You know, this isn't good. No, Jesus, I never heard of him. Same thing happens here. He's taking these steps of faith, and then he's like, what am I doing? There's waves, wind. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. The water is deep. My 11 buddies look at me like I'm crazy. And when he starts looking around, what happens? Yeah, he looks around, and he goes down. You cannot look at your circumstances. When you do, you'll go down every single time. You can't do that. You got to look at the author and the finisher of the faith, Jesus Christ. That's what you focus on. When you focus on circumstances, they'll look bad and they'll look even worse the more you look at them. When you focus on Jesus, your circumstances get smaller and more insignificant. Peter looks around and sees the waves, the wind, the deep water, 3 o'clock in the morning, and whoosh, down he goes like a rock. Remember, he still has a robe on, sandals, and everything else. He's not designed out here for fishing, swimming. And then he says a prayer that we all can learn. Save me, Lord, okay? Don't think you get to have a fancy prayer or have a little talk with Jesus, okay? He didn't use the King James language. He just says, save me, Lord. He knew he was in trouble. And what did Jesus do? Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Okay? There's a song that we sing about how when my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son until he reached down his hand for me. And so he grabs Peter, and what does he do? He lifts him up. We got a song about that, don't we? Love lifted me. Love lifted me. No, I was sinking, but then Jesus' love lifted me. And Jesus says, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? So what's that Peter didn't have any faith at all? He had enough faith to take the first few steps. But then he allowed his doubts to get the best of him. He turned his eyes off of Jesus and turned to the waves. Now, we have a song about that, don't we? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full upon his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his wonderful grace, right? Peter messed up. Instead of looking at Jesus, he was looking around. And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Now, that's happened before in the scriptures, happened where Jesus and the wind had stopped. But he didn't even get the command. They just stopped. And the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Now think about that. I already did a psalm, and and sometimes psalms, I pick one because I like it, or I pick one because it's short and I got a long scripture. But I picked this one, though, because listen to these words again. "I cry aloud to God, aloud that God may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out continually. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid, and the very deeps trembled." You see, when Peter saw the water, he was afraid. But when the waters saw God, the waters were afraid. And when I cried out unto God, and I stretched out my hand, and the Lord reached down and pulled me up. So my question for you this morning, what about you? Are you in the boat, playing it safe, like 11 disciples were? Just you're kind of scared, but I don't want to do anything crazy. Let's play this safe. Or you like Peter, you took that first step of faith, but then you're looking around, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, have you seen the news? Have you seen Russia invading Ukraine this week? And have you been to the gas station, seen the gas prices, and have you bought groceries? Oh, my goodness. You know, we're in the mess right now. You know, this is bad. You can't do that. You look around at the world and circumstances, you'll go sinking down. Oh, ye little faith. You got to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Cry to him. And what he'll say is, don't be afraid. I'm here. It's me. And if you feel like in your circumstances you're sinking, and the water's about to cover you up, you're going to drown. You cry to the Lord, and what he'll do, he'll reach down his hand. And it doesn't matter if it's 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. It doesn't matter if it's the bottom of the ocean. No matter how low you sunk, he'll reach out and grab you and pull you up and lift you up and put you back on that boat. Love lifted me. You cannot sink so low that Jesus can't get to you. I don't care how deep the ocean is. I don't care how many sharks are down there. I don't care if you're underneath the Titanic in the ocean. He can reach down and find you and pull you up. All you got to do is call his name and say, "Lord, save me." And he'll reach down and pick you up. Love lifted me, and love can lift you. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. And so far,